Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, good. He's on. Thanks.
Hello.
Hi there. This is Dr. Pokula here.
Dr. Pokula, very good. Thank you for calling. Here, I'll put you on with Adrienne. She'll chat with you a bit, and then we'll start the show. Hang on.
Okay, sure.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi, Dr. Pokula. Am I saying
yes,
the name
please.
Correctly?
That is the right one.
Is that's it Naveen?
Right. Naveen
right
Pokula. Yeah, that's
very
right.
Very good. And are you currently with the University of Missouri School of Medicine?
Yes, I'm an assistant professor here at the university.
Wonderful.
And I'm the director of robotics.
Director of robotics? Is that the way
robotic
you said?
Urology, yeah.
Okay. Very, very good. So what I'm going to do is we're going to have two sessions together, about 10 minutes each. I'll tell you the exact amount of time before we get on.
Okay.
First, you'll hear a little music, and then I'm going to introduce the show. My name is Adrienne Berg. The show is Generation Bold, The Fountain of Truth. And we're on about 34 stations throughout the United States, but people could hear it from anywhere on an app. And after we finish our show, it'll actually be heard this Sunday at 10 o'clock
okay.
Eastern Time. But then it'll be archived. After a few days later, it'll be archived on the website, Generation Bold Radio. Okay?
Okay.
So I have the material that Derek Thompson sent, and it's pretty thorough. It's very good. Of course, we're talking to an older audience, an audience where prostate cancer is a very big deal. And
okay.
Lou is pretty large, right?
Yeah, it does.
So what I want you to talk about is, first of all, I'm going to ask, what is a prostate? What exactly is it? And what is a new procedure that might work and for whom? And then we can get into a discussion of it.
Yeah, it's not totally a new procedure. It is a procedure that's been done for a while. It's just that it's not done very commonly because there are a few complications that can happen because if you operate after radiation, it's not like an entirely new procedure.
All right, so we'll talk about that, but then when we're finished with that, we should talk about some of the other procedures as well.
Sure.
That'll be in the second segment. Okay?
Okay. Sure.
All right. Very, very good. So you are, do you call the Department of Robotic Urology?
No, I'm in the Division of Urology.
Right. Okay.
University of Missouri, but I'm the Director of Robotic Urology.
Got it. Okay. I'm ready to go.
Sure.
Do it.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair.
He sees hair on his head and not on his shoulders, and that's because he thinks he's a lot younger than he really is. My name is Adrienne Berg. Most of you tune in every single week somewhere in the United States or maybe even in Peru on your app because we talk about aging. We talk about successful aging, the issues of aging, and we talk about some things that nobody talks about. And today we'll do a little of that in our second half when we really talk about how much money we need as we grow older. But in our first half, we will talk about prostate cancer. And for some people, that's a hush-hush word. For others, you can sit in a restaurant and you can eavesdrop on the neighbor next door, and all the two couples are talking about is their husband's prostate. So it depends on how you feel about revealing what's going on inside you. But I'll tell you this much. It is a very, very big issue. And we have a leader in the field who's going to tell us about a procedure that has been around for a while, but it's very uncommon. It's something that you want to know about, and we'll talk about prostate cancer in general. I do want to mention one thing. This weekend, starting this very morning, by the way, 7,000 7,000 social workers, geriatricians, geriatric care managers, people like me that study successful aging and write about it and broadcast about it, members of senior centers that are the directors, activity directors, Meals on Wheels, everyone that you can think of that has to do with aging is descending upon Washington, D.C. right this minute as you are listening, because this is the annual ASA, American Society on Aging Conference. It looks a lot like going to Vegas with hundreds and hundreds of people. Some people even need little carts to take them around the conference rooms. It's that large. So I just want you to know, folks, we're on the job. We're getting the top people, the speakers, the top leaders, the people who have something to really say about aging on our show, and I'm very, very excited today. But I have to say that the issue of prostate cancer is one that I'm so proud to be able to bring information to you, because once again, it's a topic that's in people's lives as we age, but very rarely spoken about in anything more than a fearful and sometimes an unintelligent, uncaring matter. I've heard people say, I'm not getting tested. Whatever happens, happens. I've heard other people say, you know, it's slow growing, so I'll die at 85 of prostate cancer. At least I won't know it. All kinds of stuff goes rumbling around when it comes to something that is fearful. So let's see what we can do to be the name of our show, The Fountain of Truth. And we have with us a doctor. His name is Dr. Naveed Pokhala. And he is with the, he's a professor, assistant professor, in the Division of Urology at the University of Missouri School of Medicine. But he is also the director of the Robotic Urology Division or Department. You know, I wish I were an academic. I would get the right words here, Dr. Pokhala. But the fact is that you're an expert and you have a lot to say about prostate cancer. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning.
Now, I want to jump in on one thing. I say prostate cancer. Please explain, what is the prostate? And is it true that, I mean, some doctors have said most men will have prostate cancer at some time in their life, but what is the actual percentage of exposure that we have for this?
So the prostate is an organ that sits between the bladder and the urethra. It is the organ that produces most of the fluid that you see in the semen. It actually produces a substance called fructose, which provides energy for the sperm as it travels and fertilizes the egg. The prostate is only found in men, and the main thing with prostate the prostate is it tends to grow in all men beyond the age of 40, and also there's a risk of developing prostate cancer as the age increases. Some studies have shown that, you know, even in younger people, some of them can harbor a low grade of prostate cancer even when they're in their 20s and 30s, but that might never be significant enough to cause harm because the prostate cancer is slow growing. As men age and get into their 80s, the number of patients that can harbor this cancer is almost can almost go up as high as the 40%, or even higher. But I wouldn't despair, though the incidence of cancer can be high. A majority of these cancers are low grade and slow growing and rarely cause harm. But it's important to identify the cancers that are more aggressive and treat those patients. And basically, you need to be able to identify patients who have the aggressive form of prostate cancer and focus your treatment on those patients, because that is where it's going to be critical in preventing spread of cancer and also causing the major effects in quality of life of patients.
So before we get into the uncommon procedure that I want everybody to know about, we also look at things like ovarian cancer and other cancers of women that are very hard to detect. How easy it is and how accurate is it for somebody to get their prostate checked and find out whether or not they have cancer and what type of cancer they have these days?
So currently there is no cancer. However, there are until lately, screening was performed regularly in all men who are 50 and older, wherein they visited their doctor once a year, had a digital rectal examination, which means you put a feel the prostate with your finger, and also a blood test which is called the PSA, which is a prostate specific antigen test. There have been some problems with the use of PSA, widespread use of PSA, because what has happened is the PSA was quite sensitive and it has detected a lot of patients with low-grade cancers, and a lot of these patients with low-grade cancers have gone on and to have treatments, and people have felt that as doctors we have been over-aggressive in these low-grade cancers. So the current recommendations from the American Urological Association is to screen all men who are 55 to 70 years of age with the PSA, which is a test to detect, help detect prostate cancer. The full form of PSA is prostate-specific antigen. So the current recommendations from the Urological Association are to screen all men from 55 to 70, or any man who has prostate issues, if they have having trouble, difficulty having urination, or if they have difficulty going very often, those patients also need to be screened at different ages. And all men who have a family history of prostate cancer tend to be screened even at beyond this age group of 55 and 70.
So we do have a difference in the way we are detecting these cancers. And my question to you is, we only have a couple of minutes, then we'll take a little bit of a break,
sure.
And we'll go on to our segment to talk about this new uncommon treatment.
Sure.
My question to you is this. This is a real opinion one. Sometimes the way and the frequency of testing, as it's happening with mammograms, gets curtailed because of money, not because of good medicine. Do you feel that changing the way that we're detecting and taking these tests is better medicine because fewer people with low-grade prostate get worried and treated? Or do you think it is a financial issue that we just can't, because of there's so many older men around the way they before, we just can't offer treatment to everybody?
It's a bit of both. It's also the very few patients with the low-grade cancer actually die of the disease.
Mm-hmm.
And getting treated with surgery or radiation in those situations can also cause some sort of harm. And the main harm is leakage of urine after surgery or treatment or erectile dysfunction that can happen. And still, we need a lot of studies to really prove if the treating these low-grade cancers really makes a difference. And I think that answers that we still don't have those answers.
All right, well, we'll come back. We're going to have some answers for you on a treatment that the doctor says is not really new, but is very unknown, has some drawbacks, but has done very well for people with severe prostate cancer. And may be the answer for some people in a life-saving situation. So we've been speaking with Dr. Naveen Pokhala. We're going to be speaking with him again. He's from the University of Missouri School of Medicine. And this is something that you may not have heard of before. If you or anybody in your family has been diagnosed, if you have a history, as the doctor said,
you may think that
in your family, you're going to want to stay tuned.
But that doesn't bother me, not even a bit. I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Questions before I could have.
Okay, so that was perfect. We are not taping now. We're going to go right into the new procedure. How would you like me to introduce it? I see here that there's a study. I could just introduce the study.
Yeah.
I could simply ask you to explain the procedure, which I think is called salvage radical prostatectomy surgery.
Yeah. So I think the study mainly.
Okay, very good. So very good. I'm ready to go. So this is about how many minutes, Stuart? A little bit under 9 minutes we'll be going. What we just did was a little bit over 10. Okay?
Okay.
We're ready.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate.
And this is Adrienne Burr, and this is Generation Bold, and this is the Fountain of Truth about aging. On this great day, if there is an anniversary date for aging, it is today, because this is the day that the American Society on Aging has its conference. Now, I said the day. This is a four-day conference. If you would look at the conference topics, it's about the size of a phone book, for those of us who still remember phone books. There are so many speakers descending upon Washington from all over the world with every issue of aging. I mentioned a few, but I didn't mention things like housing, like assisted living facilities, like safety, balance, walking, exercise, life purpose, and lifelong learning. And today we are tackling a very, very difficult subject that I consider to be an important subject in the field of aging, and that is prostate cancer. Of course, our guest, Naveen Apokola, Dr. Apokola, who is with the University of Missouri School of Medicine and has been involved in a study that is going to reveal to you some information on what's called salvage radical prostatectomy surgery, something you may not have heard of before. But he does remind us that it's not only an issue of aging men. Some younger men can have it too. So we want this to be important to all of you. If you have children, even grandchildren, and you have a history of this in your family, this is an important thing for you to know. So thank you, Dr. Apokola, for being with us on our second part of our show. Let's go right into this surgical procedure and explain it, if you can, in a way that our audience can understand it and consider it if they happen to be in this difficult position of having a diagnosis.
Salvage prostatectomy is a procedure that is performed in men who had radiation as the primary treatment for prostate cancer. So prostate cancer can either be treated with surgery or radiation, and some patients choose radiation as the main treatment option. And when radiation fails or patients have a recurrence of prostate cancer just localized within the prostate, traditionally people felt that it was not safe to go and take their prostate out to try and cure this cancer. The main reasons for not trying to do a prostatectomy after radiation was because of the higher chance of having complications. Radiation causes a lot of reactions in the tissues around, and the risk of injury to the rectum or the ureters, which are the structures that lie in and around the prostate, tend to be higher. And patients who already had radiation also tend to have a higher rate of leakage of urine after they have their prostates taken out. So traditionally, this was not really offered. But lately, in some of the bigger centers and surgeons with a lot of experience have been offering salvage prostatectomy when prostate cancer recurs after radiation. The procedure is similar to the radical prostatectomy. It's just that it is done as a salvage procedure in an attempt to cure prostate cancer when radiation has failed.
So there is a procedure. Now, studies have been done that show that there's been some good results here, some extremely good results. And the survival outcomes of men undergoing this radical procedure, what you call radical procedure, prostatectomy, after primary radiation treatment has been good. In terms of this, are you continuing to look at these studies? And exactly what more research are you doing to make the procedure even simpler or easier or less threatening to somebody who has had their radiation to no results?
So the whole goal of this study was twofold. First was to see if the patients went through a difficult procedure like the salvage prostatectomy, which higher risk, if it made a difference in terms of cancer control. And since it's a rare procedure, we've used a national database to look at the cancer survival after a difficult procedure like this, and it has shown that it does improve survival, and there's a good chance of increasing cure rates even after radiation has failed. So the next step is to try and focus on improving the surgical technique, and both open and robotic approaches have been used, and patients' outcomes have getting better since we're getting more and more experience with performing the salvage procedure. Generally, in surgery, the technique improves as the volume or the number of patients receiving the procedure increases. And as the surgeons gain more experience, the outcome is also going to get better and better. There is some caveats to this, though. It's not a procedure that can be offered to all men that recur. Ideally, the men have to be between 60 and 70, or healthy men who have an expected life expectancy of more than 10 years, and should ideally be offered in centers that routinely do these kind of surgeries in order to improve their outcome.
You know, I want everybody to understand that this is one of the many new types, new to us, of non-invasive surgeries. And robotics, if you even spent a moment at the conference on digital health that I go to, or robotic surgery that I go to, as a total novice in the field of medicine, it would give you a feeling of confidence in the future that you might not have today. And that's one of the reasons also that I wanted to have the doctor on. What is happening all around us in so many areas? You know, last week we talked about the Buck Institute on Aging and the things that are happening. There's a real, real importance here of looking at the issues of medicine, not from the point of view of just the disease that's being cured, but the way it's being cured and the rest of what happens to the human body and spirit and mind. And so this is pretty exciting stuff, and I know you're continuing to, as you say, perfect the procedure, and I really wish you completely well and that people have their consciousness raised about this, because as you say, the more people who are willing to at least consider this for their lives, the more you'll be able to perfect the procedure. Am I right about that?
And that is correct. And it also another renewed hope for some of these patients that fail radiation treatment. It'll also help change the way we surgeons or we physicians think. If we do more of these procedures and the procedure gets safer, there's another hope in trying to cure these patients that fail radiation.
Well, thank you so much for all this information, and we will be back. We'll actually be talking about something very related, Doctor, with our next guest, and that is stress. But before we go, is there a website that we can go to get more information?
The National Cancer Institute has a website, which is called nccn.org, which sort of gives most of the information.
Thank you so much, and we will be back. None of you go anywhere, because if I just stressed you out in the first half of the show, I'll make you calm in the second half of the show. This is Adrian Bergman from Generation Bone, the Fat of Truth.
For my age, da 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 da.
Hello?
Hi there.
So that was wonderful, and I think you have all the information you need through Derek Thompson, I see.
Sure.
Here. He's going to get information on the show. He'll send us a little bit of blurb about yourself. But you should also know that this website for the show has a blog. So if there's any consumer-friendly articles you have on this, we would love to publish them.
Sure. Thank you.
Take care. Keep up the good work. It really sounds like it's breakthrough stuff.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye.